Download previous episodes of Monday Night Talk and listen to them anywhere. Check out 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
We are back here on Monday Night Talk, and joining us, our next guest this evening, is Brockton Mayor Bill Carpenter. He is a regular contributor to the radio program. Mayor, good evening. How are you?
Well, good evening, Kevin. Joe, great to be back on Monday Night Talk and WATD.
Yeah, first and foremost, I want to give you an opportunity. We've had a number of your elected colleagues around the South Shore who have weighed in on the passing of Senator Tom Kennedy. And now we, as everybody knows, there's already a race to find someone to fill the rest of his term. Kind of weigh in. You spent many a year in the city of Brock, and I'm sure you've had many interactions with the senator.
It's probably kind of hard to put into words how big of a loss this is for the city in just so many areas. I mean, certainly, up on Beacon Hill, and particularly in recent years as a state senator, Senator Kennedy had a great deal of respect up there. He was a go-to guy for me as the mayor when we needed help with something at the state level. I think probably the thing that I admired most, and I'll tell you, I've kept, and it's even more important to me now. When I first ran for school committee 6 years ago, my first time I ever ran for elected office, and I won, you know, Tom sent me a personally written note. It was just a great note of support and encouragement and public service and some, I think, views that he and I shared that he, you know, was hopeful that I would be a representative for on the school committee. And I saved that note, and I'm so glad I did, because that note really, you know, reminds me why any of us get into public service. And so I think what I really respected most about Tom was his ability to rub elbows with the power brokers up on Beacon Hill and really be a guy who had some juice up there, but never lost sight of the little guy, constantly advocated for any resident of his district, and, you know, particularly around issues of people facing any type of mental or physical challenge, people fighting poverty and unemployment. You know, he really was a champion for the little guy, and never lost sight of that, and never stopped fighting for those folks that helped get him elected in the first place. But he had an uncanny ability to do that and to maintain that perspective. You know, even as he grew in power up on Beacon Hill, he used his political capital, you know, to benefit those in our area who needed it most. I think he was just a great example and role model for you know, what public service is supposed to be about.
Talking about the loss of the senator, of course, now this talk is about moving to the special election this coming fall.
Right, October 6th is the primary, and yeah, November 3rd will be the general election. That'll be right alongside the city election as well.
Yeah,
right, so the preliminaries are on different dates, but the finals will be on the same date.
Right.
Correct. In your mind, what does somebody that takes this seat kind of have to do and have to kind of embrace as they move forward in a seat in filling shoes the size of this?
Yes, I mean, I really like the way that Kevin had phrased the question, because we're not going to elect someone to replace Tom Kennedy. We're going to replace someone to fill out the balance of his term.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take someone years of hard work to be able to fill his shoes.
Sure.
This will be an interesting race. I mean, if I were to, without speculating as to who the individuals are yet, because we don't even know what names will be on the ballots, but, you know, I would think in the final, once we get past the preliminary, the most likely scenario is a Democrat from the city of Brockton against a Republican from out in the district.
Mm.
And so, you know, the challenge for both candidates will be, you know, for the suburban candidate to be able to come in and garner some support in the city to get them over the top. And if there is, in fact, a city candidate, it will be for them to be able to work out in the suburbs, because the senator has to take a regional perspective of a number of communities that sometimes have divergent interest, and being able to balance those. I mean, a quick example would be state education funding. Well, you know, some of the more affluent suburbs feel very strongly that they're being they're getting the short end of the stick on the educational formula, and they deserve more Chapter 70 money. And certainly in the city here, we feel very strongly, as a matter of fact, we're planning to sue over the fact that we feel that the state is no longer keeping its promises under the Education Reform Act of 93 in funding cities like Brockton with low incomes and many challenges around language and special needs and poverty. So that requires, that's a challenge to be able to represent both of those viewpoints that exist within the district. However, I do think it's much more common that we certainly have issues of regional mutual interest. Economic development is regional nowadays. You know, how Brockton goes, the rest of Plymouth County, the rest of the Metro South area goes. Economies don't start and stop at city and town lines anymore. So, I think in terms of economic development, in terms of water and sewer, reducing crime, the opiate addiction crisis, I think there are some real key issues that are regional in nature and do affect everybody in the Senate district. And I think those issues will be opportunities for the new senator to try to make a difference with.
Yeah, and I would also I want to add in there is that, Senator Kennedy was he provided pure leadership to the legislative delegation that fought on behalf of not only the district, but the city of Brockton in various areas. Representative Mike Brady has already pulled papers. You're correct in saying that somebody from outside of Brockton has already pulled papers. Vi Ryerson has already done that. So you could end up, it could be shaping up a Democrat in the city.
Well, and I've met Vi. I don't know her personally. Yep. I would also think a guy like Jeff Deal, a state representative Deal, would be a strong candidate.
That's rumored, yep.
I think Mike will be a very strong candidate because Mike has politically always been active at the county level. You know, he's been very active in the Plymouth County Democratic Party. To me, it's a little bit of a funny senatorial district because you get, a strong Democratic presence in the city of Brockton. You get out to some of the other towns in the district, where the Republican Party is pretty strong. It's an interesting district, an interesting race. I'm not sure that we know yet who all the candidates will be. I mean, for most folks that are thinking about running, it's a pretty low-risk proposition because, someone like State Rep Brady, and it's no secret Mike is a friend of mine. I think Mike's a great guy. But, he's not putting his state rep seat at risk to run for Senate. If he becomes a senator, great. And if for some reason he doesn't become a senator, he's up for re-election for his House seat next year, where it's, I think highly unlikely someone would be able to challenge him successfully for that. So I think because it's an off-year election, that could encourage a couple of others to jump into the race because it's not a huge downside.
Okay, we're speaking with Brockton Mayor Bill Carpenter, a guest here on Monday Night Talk. Shifting gears here, if we will. There has been recent news. You've been on previously talking about the city looking at purchasing the Aquaria desalination plant. And there's been a couple of things that have happened since the last time you and I had a chance to talk. City Council, during the voting for the FY 2016 budget, defunded Aquaria for the fiscal year, as well as, I guess, a report has come forth, and that's been provided to the Water Commission. What's your thoughts on either of those issues?
I think long run, if the city were to continue to defund the Aquaria contract, that's just going to get us another very expensive lawsuit. I don't like paying it any better than anyone else. I do think it is a huge albatross on the back of the water ratepayers in the city. And we came into office working as to how we could try to relieve some of the financial impact of that Aquaria contract. So having said that, we have brought forward a proposal to purchase the Aquaria plant. Now, that proposal is far from being finalized. There is still a lot of work to do. All we've done at this point, Kevin, is agree on a letter of intent. And that itself took substantial negotiations. But that letter of intent would then allow us to be able to do the real due diligence, the real fact-finding, to establish if, in fact, it would make sense to go forward with the purchase, and if we did, what would a fair price be? Mm. And so that report that was delivered to the Water Commission a week ago today was the first step in that. The Water Commission asked for an independent study around the financial values involved, owning versus renting. And, I think at the end of the day, so long as you're getting the plant for the right price, to me, it's not a lot different. I'll use the analogy of you know, buying a house versus renting a house. And I think that's how we're looking at it. We think that the annual cost could actually be at least $1 million less if we were selling some of the water to some of the surrounding communities. And at the same time, if we purchase it, there's a residual value. You end up owning an asset at the end of the 20 years that's worth millions of dollars versus what we're doing right now, which is paying out over $100 million in a 20-year agreement,
right,
in which we own absolutely nothing. We're still required to have a second source of water. And all we're going to have to do is enter into another agreement that will cost us even more money. So I think that philosophically, it makes more sense to me to own and control that source of water because we're paying enough money to be able to do that anyhow, and I can see some benefits to that. But there's still some work to be done. So where we're at with the Water Commission right now is that our DPW commissioner and our CFO went in front of them with the report last Monday. And, you know, they have simply asked for the ability to continue in the process and now negotiating and arriving at a purchase and sale agreement, which would come back to the Water Commission for approval. So the purchase would not be able to go any further forward until that P&S was brought back to the Water Commission, but we can't do that without now really identifying the costs of some of the issues that are raised in the letter of intent that need to be addressed, the biggest one being what will it cost mechanically and in investments in plant and upgrade to get that plant producing the 5 million gallons per day that it was designed for, that's promised in the letter of intent. Currently, their maximum output is 3.5 million gallons a day. Well, exactly what has to be done to get it to its 5 million capacity, and how much is that going to cost? There's also an issue with where the pipeline crosses the potential South Coast Railroad.
Right.
And if, in fact, that project does go forward and there has to be a change in the pipeline, well, we need to do some engineering and find out exactly what would be done and how much it would cost. Because people forget that in that letter of intent, it calls for Aquaria to pick up the cost of solving both of those problems or both of those issues before a deal would go forward. That's going to be millions of dollars. Aquaria and the city both have to be able to figure out together exactly how much that's going to cost before going forward. And we also want to look at the pipeline capacity and be convinced that the pipeline capacity is what it's been represented to be. So I don't think the Water Commission is being asked for any big decision right now. They're simply being asked to allow the people that have begun to work on this to continue to work on it, to come up with designs and price tags for these challenges that need to be overcome and paid for by Aquaria. And then if we can figure that all out and make the numbers work, then we would come to an agreement and bring that agreement back to the Water Commission so they can examine it and do their due diligence, and they'll have the opportunity to either accept it or reject it.
Right.
If they decide to go forward with it, then it goes to the City Council. We go through this whole due diligence process with the City Council. So there's still a lot of work to be done. However, I think it's incumbent on us for the Water Commission, the Council, and the administration to really all work together on this, because that $7 million a year that we're spending with Aquaria, it is a backbreaker to the water budget right now. And we know we need to get a better deal than that. And it's just not as simple as walking away.
And if you could just remind folks, when you were elected, I believe that the prior administration had a set amount if they were looking to purchase it. And I believe that you were able to reduce it.
Right. So, I mean, the prior administration also believed that it made more sense to own it than to rent it. And they had been through a number of negotiations, and they had had a final price of $101 million. And when we came into the new administration, and, you know, with a little saber rattling and very aggressive negotiations over the period of a number of months, we were able to strike a tentative deal with a letter of intent at $88 million. Now, will $88 million ultimately be the final price? I think it could be. I think it represents the fair market value of the plant. However, you know, now we're doing the work and the due diligence to make sure that at the fair market value, the numbers would still work out for the city. But I think in this preliminary study, you know, a couple factors that were not taken into account were the potential value of water being sold to other users, primarily other municipalities that are in the greater Brockton area. Aquaria has not been able to be effective at that because of the way that the contract is structured. They have to charge an artificially high price for it. If Brockton owned the plant, they would be able to negotiate a going price with a neighboring municipality. And, you know, we've had the ability to do that. We have agreements with both Abington and Whitman right now, and we're talking to West Bridgewater on sewer. So, you know, we could negotiate the same type of intermunicipal agreements on water. I'm convinced, Joe and Kevin, that, you know, over the next handful of years, in the very near future, Brockton has neighbors that will need water if they're going to grow. We increased our sewer capacity with Abington this past year by 1 million gallons per day. And, you know, that has spurred a whole wave of development in Abington where they'd really been stuck for a number of years not being able to grow because of not having the sewer capacity. Well, I think a lot of our neighbors will be in the same position with water. The state is not going to allow communities to keep tapping in additionally to groundwater. I think they're going to have to find other sources of water. And if we were to purchase the plant, you know, we'd have an additional 5 million gallons a day of capacity that we would not need all of that for Brockton. We could share some of that with our neighbors.
And you are listening to Monday Night Talk, and this is Mayor of Brockton, Bill Carpenter. Mayor, I have a question for you about the Downtown College Collaborative Campus. What's the status right now of that campus that's coming to downtown Brockton?
Sure. So the status, and I'm not going to be able to get into too much detail as to what's occurring immediately right now, but the status is that two or three weeks ago, when the governor released his capital funding budget, he decided to not fund a number of higher ed capital projects. Essentially, I think it's about half a dozen of them. Any higher ed capital projects that had not actually broken ground yet and begun construction were put on hold by the administration. And I think that the administration's feeling at that point was that the Patrick administration had overextended on promises, that the state taxpayers could not necessarily afford all of these projects, and that the Baker administration wanted to review all of these. So, you know, are these projects officially dead? No, absolutely not. They've promised a review process on these. But I think essentially, so, you know, my reaction was, I was not surprised. You know, we anticipated that somewhere along the line, the new administration would want to review these projects if they were going to pay for them. So I'm not surprised that the governor wants to take a step back and have his people conduct their own analysis of each of these projects. So that's what's going on. I mean, here in Brockton, we're actually impacted by two. There's the proposed Allied Health Services building that would be built on the site of the former Christo's restaurant. And then, as you mentioned, the Downtown College Collaborative,
right,
which would actually be a downtown college building in which the three levels of state higher ed, UMass Boston, Massasoit Community, and Bridgewater State University, would all bring some of their educational programming into downtown Brockton. Now, I believe the downtown satellite campus is a great proposal. I think it fills a lot of needs in a lot of different areas. It will address issues that these campuses on their own have not been able to address. You know, particularly around workforce development and connecting education and labor to create workforce development, which is essential, again, for the growth of the region, not just Brockton, for the growth of the region. So we're looking forward to our opportunity to present our proposals. And I know that the governor has asked a couple of his cabinet secretaries, Secretary of Education Pizer and Secretary of Housing and Economic Development Jay Ash, to each conduct their own independent review of the proposal from their own standpoints. And that process has already begun. And that's where, in terms of where we are right this second, the review process, I think it's a really sensitive point in the discussions. And, you know, all of the parties have agreed that we won't discuss details of the review process until the process is complete and a decision is made. But we are working really hard to be able to show the Baker administration why this is a unique project in higher ed, why it fits a lot of the philosophy of the Baker administration, and why this is a very worthwhile investment of the taxpayers' money in establishing a satellite college campus in downtown Brockton.
Just kind of staying with the downtown theme, you actually had state officials meeting up with city officials this week in regards to a new initiative in regards to transforming the downtown. Kind of talk about that for a few minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's very exciting to the city. So Brockton was one of 10 cities selected to be granted a transformative district initiative, TDI, which essentially creates a partnership with Mass Development and the city's planning and economic development agencies to come in and help provide the expertise to create the long-term plan for the redevelopment of the downtown area in Brockton and help us establish at least a couple of the incentive types of districts that we've identified that we believe we need. You know, we're looking to do a DIF plan here in downtown Brockton, a district improvement financing that would allow Brockton to set aside some of its property tax growth in the downtown area to be set aside and reinvested in infrastructure to continue to redevelop the downtown. We're looking for, in a much smaller area, an urban renewal area that would give us both some incentives and some ability to acquire a property if it were critical to an overall economic redevelopment opportunity. So we had a great kickoff, as you referenced, Kevin, last week with state officials, the consultant, and Mass Development, here meeting with our city planner and director of economic development, Rob May, but with B21 at the table and our Main Street manager, Gary Leonard, at the table, and Metro South Chamber, and all of our partners. And so they spent almost a whole day together, really shared a lot of information that included a walking tour of the downtown. So I'm just really excited, Kevin, because I think this shows the change in Brockton and how we're perceived by the state and the development community just in the 18 months that I've been mayor. Because I'll tell you, 2 years ago, Brockton would not have even been able to apply for one of these TDI districts, let alone be one of the cities selected to receive one. So, you know, we know we're off to a great start here. It's already happening in downtown Brockton, but there's still a lot of planning and work and developing to go. We're still very early on in the process. This TDI initiative, bringing in the resources of Mass Development and the outside consultant that they've retained, is really going to give us some additional planning resources that we don't have yet and really help us develop a great long-term plan. You know, we're working on releasing in the not-too-distant future a 10-year economic development plan for the city of Brockton. This city has never done long-term economic development planning for the entire city, not just the downtown, for the entire city. And so, you know, we ran the economic summit back about 4 or 5 months ago. We're finalizing the action plan coming out of that.
Right.
We had over 100 business and development and civic and community leaders, educational, healthcare, all come together to spend a day identifying what the goals and what the plans for the future development of the city need to be. So do we have a lot of work to go? We sure do. But have we come a long way in 18 months? We absolutely have. And Brockton is already being perceived differently, not just by state officials, but by developers and investors also.
Mayor, we just got a couple of minutes left here, but I want to give you an opportunity to talk about what possibly could have been the last Brockton Fair that we saw a couple of weeks ago.
I'm counting on one more.
I've
got my money on one more because they wouldn't let me drive in the demolition derby this year after I did drive the past 2 years, and I would really like a chance to do it one more time.
Oh, okay.
So for my own selfish reasons, I'm hoping one more. You know, the state, so, you know, there are a couple big factors here. One is the fact that it's no secret that the owners of the property, the Carney family, have partnered with a company called Rush Street Gaming, and they're one of the two applicants for the gaming, the casino license for Southeastern Mass. New Bedford's competing with Brockton in the process for that license. The Gaming Commission has had a couple of delays in the process, and the newest timetable that they have released now instead of July has the applications being presented in September, and then probably about a six-month process of review that will include some hearings, fact-finding, site visits, et cetera. So I really don't think that we'll get a decision from the Gaming Commission on the casino till probably, you know, I'm thinking March or April of next year.
Mm.
And so if the process takes until March or April, and Brockton were fortunate enough to be awarded that license, and certainly I think we've developed a great proposal that would benefit not just Brockton but the whole region. And so if Brockton were fortunate enough to be selected, I still think that if that decision doesn't come down until March or April of next year, there's going to be, you know, at least 2 or 3 or 4 months of additional planning and design work to be done before I think ground would actually break. So I think they'll be able to, even if Brockton gets the casino, I think they'll be able to get in one more fair late June, early July next year. And obviously, if we're not awarded the casino, then, you know, Mr. Carney has made it clear that he's going to develop the property commercially. I'm sure he's already quietly working on what some of his options might be. But again, I think almost no matter what it was, if in fact the final decision from the Gaming Commission doesn't come down until March or April, whatever that future development will be, whether it be a casino, a shopping plaza, or whatever else might go in there, I think this is the final fair coming up. But I think there will be one more late June, early July next year. And I hope there's one more. And I hope that the Carney family is in a position to announce it well in advance that it will be the final fair, because you think about the rich history over 100 years of the Brockton Fair. And I know there are a lot of folks out there with Brockton roots that have moved out of the city that I think would love an opportunity to come back to the fair one last time.
Well, and, you know, if you're not able to drive in the Brockton Fair, this always here where you once were, the Marshfield Fair. You can always come to the Marshfield Fair.
Yeah, not quite the same. I come to the Marshfield Fair once every year still. You know, so if listeners that don't know, I grew up in the town of Marshfield. I graduated from Marshfield
Dad's
High
here.
School a long, long time ago, but that part's not important.
Dad's here.
I grew up as a kid. I was 4 years old when my family moved to Marshfield. Mm-hmm. And I think all through my childhood, probably right through high school and college, I don't think I ever missed a day of the fair, let alone a year of the fair. I absolutely love the fair. So, I mean, you know, over the years, I went from, I guess, riding the merry-go-round to betting on the thoroughbreds and enjoying the whole Marshfield fair experience.
Right.
And I still make it a point to get down there. As my kids were growing up, I brought them to the Marshfield fair every year, and I'm looking forward to doing it again.
And let's not forget, Dad is still here too, correct?
My dad still lives in the town of Marshfield. Yeah,
there
he does. And so this time of year, I spend a little more time. I was actually got down to Marshfield for a few hours this past weekend, and down on Wrexham Beach, where I still have a lot of friends, and I love to come down. I enjoy eating at Haddad's, the Fairview Inn. I love the town of Marshfield, and as much as I love the city of Brockton, I still certainly hold a special place in my heart for Marshfield, where I grew up. We all have our childhood memories.
Yep.
And all of my childhood memories were in the town of Marshfield.
There he is, Brockton Mayor Bill Carpenter. We thank you for joining us, and perhaps when we can get you on in a couple of weeks, maybe we talk about some of the folks who are running in your race.
I think it's getting crowded. I somehow went from everyone speculating if I would have a challenger to now needing a roster to sort them all out. But, we're looking forward to the race. We really just officially kicked off our campaign this past weekend. We had a campaign kickoff a while ago, but in terms of active campaigning, we just put our lawn signs out this past Saturday. We have an event coming up Friday night, the 31st, at Joe Angelo's from 6 to 9, a nomination paper signing rally. No donation required, so any folks in the Brockton area that would like to come out and sign my nomination papers or get involved in the campaign, we're having a free rally at Joe Angelo's Cafe right in the heart of downtown Brockton. I'm sorry, it's from 7 to 10. 7 to 10 on Friday night, July 31st. I hope some of the folks out there listening will join us.
There he is, Brockton Mayor Bill Carpenter. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Kevin, Joe, always a pleasure. Take it easy.
You got it. We're going to step aside, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the Plymouth County Tech Team as well as the fire and rescue facility down in Plymouth right here on Monday Night Talk, heard on 95.9 WATD.
WATD FM Marshfield. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.